Friends, it's with a grateful heart that I have an opportunity to share with you my conversation with France Thériault. She is a friend of mine whose story of resilience, transformation, and just overall conscious living really is near and dear to my heart. I have had an opportunity over the last several years to get to know France from a beautiful level of depth, of creativity. And I first was introduced to her years ago because of the work that I do in regards to brain health and overall wellness. And when I sat with her over lunch and she shared her story of concussion, the trauma that she had experienced almost a decade ago, and how she moved through this experience, which was frightening, which was the unknown, she used it as a tool to help other people. And I'll never forget how I felt, just so inspired by her story, and by her ability to take a look at life and make decisions that are conscious and that are going to help for her to progress in her own life, all of which stumbled through this stumbling of this accident that happened almost a decade ago, and how she has moved through with creativity, with her art, with her poetry, and also these conscious decisions that you will hear from her moving overseas and just following that inner essence, which is the reason for this podcast, is to follow the magic that ignites our inner essence. France is the example of that, and I'm really excited to share her story with you. So I hope that you enjoy. I hope that you take some nuggets, and I hope that you can share this with others that may need a little bit of a glimpse of hope in their own life for their next step as well. So here is France Thériault, and I hope you enjoy. Hey, friends, and welcome to Lucy Smiles Living Room podcast. I am your host, Diane Lozo, also known as Lucy Smiles. And today I'm so honored to share this beautiful soul with all of my community. France Thériault is a friend, but also someone who is a prompting for me to have actually launched the Lucy Smiles Living Room podcast and to not procrastinate the prompting. And I'll get a little bit more into that. I think it's just really important. But before we get started, France, thank you for showing up in the living room on a Sunday morning.
Thank you.
So nice to have you here. Before we get started, I do want to share a little bit about France. France is a transformational leader. She is a mother of two grown boys. She is a published author, an artist. She is also the founder of Blooming in Harmony and also a public speaker. And France and I had met many years ago through the work that I was doing in wellness. And the reason why we connected through a friend of ours is because of a transformation that France went through many years ago that really, I would say, shaped and shifted the trajectory of her life. And France right now is here in this present moment to be discovering her unique gifts and also sharing her talents and her gifts with the world. She believes, such as I do, that we can inspire and empower others through our own journey and our own story. And she does this through many things, just a couple of which are her poetry, her beautiful poetry, her abstract art, and also, and we'll get into, is her post-concussion insights and the work that she has done to build community around the education and the inspiration that she shares through her story, which we are going to get really into. So France, thank you so much for being here with me today. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you for inviting me and to give me an opportunity to have this talk with you.
Yes. And so I would love to get started, and I know that you're open to sharing your story, is let's go right back to where things had started for you when you started to, I would even say, like, look at your life differently, take more of a self-reflection through the traumatic event that had taken place with you. And then we can get through more of, you know, how that brought you to where you are today, because even over just the last year, So much has happened in your life. And I would love to share with our community just the power of when things, adverse situations can happen in our lives. We have a choice. And one of the things that I know that you say that is so powerful is that you pay attention to how you feel, right? And then also that there's an inner dialogue that we all have that's happening inside of us. And so through your story of that inner dialogue that could have, that was really traumatic in those moments, how you went from there to what you're doing in your whole world right now and how you are inspiring the world through the work that you do. So take us back to what had happened, what that moment was, and anything that you feel can really just bring the energy around that story that you shared with me the first day that we had lunch together when I was introduced to the work that you do.
Thank you. Everything started for me like in 2013 when I had a tragic cycling accident. I was training to do the Ride to Conquer Cancer. It was a huge event that takes place in Toronto. So it's a 200 kilometer ride from Toronto to Niagara Falls on a 2 days like journey. So 2 weeks prior to this event, I was training with my team up north. The first day of like this training, just like maybe like 30 minutes after I started to ride, I was going downhill and there was a pothole and I didn't see it. I don't remember anything. I just remember like climbing the hill and like you know, my front wheel got caught in the pothole and I was ejected. And after that, like, you know, like I arrive eventually on the road and I skid. And when I was lying down, there was a cyclist behind me who didn't have an opportunity to kind of, you know, rode around me. Like she rode over my legs. And like that also, like, you know, had like lead to a lot of like different pain in my body after the accident. So I was brought up to the hospital, the nearest hospital, where after like a few test, I was diagnosed with a concussion, like a mild traumatic brain injury. And at that time, I was 48 years old. I was fit, healthy. The prognostic was really good. Like, you know, in a few weeks, maybe 2-3 months, I will be back on my bike and everything will be fine. Unfortunately, that was not the case. And the journey to recovery, but I will say for me, it's also like the journey to awakening to myself, to what is greater, started.
Wow. Now in those moments though, I'm sure you weren't thinking this is the great awakening for Fanaz. Right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Because we hear these stories, we read the books, we see the YouTube, we see the documentaries of people who have those moments where, you know, now it is, how many years now is it? 11 years?
Yeah, I'm going to like, to, yeah, 11 years. Yeah.
So in those moments, I would love for you to share, because there is always contrast in life, right? And so in those moments, allowing yourself to feel how you were feeling. And so can you take us back to, you know, what that looked like in the first couple of months for you?
Oh, horrific. Absolutely horrific. I don't know what it is to have a brain injury. I don't know anyone. So for me, my pain was physical, was also emotional, like cognitively, like, you know, lots of impairment. I went to see a chiropractor who gave me some kind of, give me some support. However, I never went the medical, like, you know, like road. And thank God that I had a therapist who helped me, but it was for a long time. I was very anxious, very depressed. I could not drive. I couldn't go outside. So I was very isolated. And I was not able to kind of like, you know, live my life as I used to. So I spent a lot of time in silence, a lot of time in the dark. Unfortunately, my spouse, like, they didn't really understand what was happening. So I don't have a family, like, in Ontario. My family is in Montreal. And with time, like, the people who were helping me, they, you know what, they got busy with their own lives. So I felt, like, very lonely, very misunderstood, afraid, lots of anxiety. my world was really upside down, and it's almost like I didn't understand. I couldn't relate to the world anymore, like, you know, because it's not a broken arm, it's your brain. So this is your computer. So, and at that time, 11 years ago, we didn't know what we know now about brain injuries. So at the time was rest, you know, relax, like, you know, the body's going to heal. It's going to, you know, take, like, you know, not that long, supposedly, but unfortunately for me, it took many, many years. So, but at the same time, like, you know, it has been like, you know, for me, I saw it as an invitation. I love words. I'm an author, like I'm a writer. So I saw this event, this cataclysm, as an opportunity to look at my life and be totally honest and true with myself and say, hey, this is not a little thing. This is a huge, huge awakening, a huge invitation. And what are you going to do with this? Like, you know. So I started to be like very conscious of how I wanted to live my life, who I wanted to be in the world, what was a change that needed to happen. And little by little, like, you know, on good days and bad days, I steer the wheel, like, you know, I move a little bit forward, move a lot backward. Like, you know, I had this dance of, you know, but yeah, that was absolutely atrocious.
It's, thank you for sharing. My heart, I'm just listening to you and I could feel the emotions of what that must have looked like or felt like. Now, when I met you, we had a beautiful lunch together and I was introduced to you because of the work that you do. And you made a decision. You made a decision not just to heal on your own, but you made a decision to create community around the education and information of traumatic brain injury, concussion, and what did that look like for you? And what was that that was inside of you to say, you know what, I'm not only going to work on myself, but who else needs to hear this and needs to learn from this? And that's huge, right? Going from, I would say, you know, the victim in what you went through, not victim, but a victim to a teacher. And so when you didn't feel maybe the consistent support from your spouse, your relationship, maybe friends who maybe didn't understand, how did you decide? Like, what was it that walked you through that? Was it belief? Or like, can you share for those that may be sitting saying, I don't know what to do. There's no way out. Can you share some insight of what those promptings were in your heart that said, keep going?
I believe for me, like through this journey, like I needed to be inspired. So I started to kind of read, to kind of, you know, look at different, like, you know, maybe Wayne Dyer, Louise Hayes. So I needed someone or some other people, even though I didn't know them, to kind of guide me, because I was completely lost, to tell you the truth. Like, I didn't know how to do life. Absolutely not. So, and I also felt very lonely. And I said to myself, wow, there's certainly other people, like, you know, who are going to something similar in where I live or around where I live, who would be maybe interested to get together and to share their own experience. And perhaps we could, like, you know, support each other, learn from each other. So I remember, like, posting a message in different places, chapters, community board. And I found a place to have a meeting. And I think the first two times, no one came. And eventually, like, you know what, I said to myself, okay, like, you know what, if you want this, you need to persist. You need to kind of, like, you know, show up, and eventually, like, you know, it will come. And yes, people started to come, and, you know, we had a monthly meeting where we, at first, I will say probably the first year, like, we were just kind of, like, you know, going through our own story, sharing what works, what doesn't work, like, which doctor, which modality, like, you know. And again, a brain injury is very unique to each individual. Like, you know, like, everyone, like, you know, could be affected differently. And I think for a while it was really interesting. But I said to myself, okay, I want to go further than that. So For me, I went mostly on alternative medicine. So this is like how I decided to heal and to get my support. So I started to bring different practitioners to the group for the people to see, okay, there is like, you know what, the medical route, there is different things, but also there is on other side, you know, maybe that could be complementary to what you're doing at the moment. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, it kind of evolved, like, you know, people came, people left, like other people heard about it, like, you know, someone like a friend of a friend will call me and say, hey, like, you know, I know someone who had a brain injury. Would you be interested to talk to them? I did also some advocacy, like in my community, I started to have like some talks. So like I will put like sign at Goodness Me, like kind of educating as well what it is to live, like, you know what, the day-to-day life of someone who had a brain injury. What are some things that, you know, perhaps a restaurant or different like public space could do for us to be able to kind of enjoy life and to get back to kind of some kind of normal life. Mm-hmm. And also I wanted to invite people to have a voice. And this is not like not to be a victim, but there is some things that, you know what, that we could do. Let's say if we go to a restaurant and the music is too loud and the light is too shiny or too bright. I think, like, you know, for me, it was really important to go back in life because I wanted to have a life other than being, like, you know what, someone who had a brain injury. So I started to say, okay, is it possible to turn the music down? Is it possible, you know, to dim the light? And I will say I had a brain injury. Like, you know what, I'm kind of recovering. I want to be part of, like, you know what, the lunch with my friends, but this is too much for me. And most of the time, it was really, like, you know, welcome, and people will help me, like, you know, to have a good experience. But I wanted also the people who were coming to the group to don't be shy and don't be ashamed of that. Like, you know, like use your experience to kind of empowering yourself to actually to speak up.
It's interesting that you say that as well, because as you're sharing this, I do remember one conversation on that you and I had and how you explained it so well around how it is a silent, mm-hmm. I don't want to say illness, but like it's silent. So you injury. Don't know injury when someone is in the room, you don't know what they're going through. And I even remember a couple of stories of like book clubs and like, you know, environments where some of our friends who do have a concussion, traumatic brain injury, were not able to attend. And so it is about accommodating accessibility for others. And also what you had mentioned too, that I think is so important for us. And I share this because I literally had a conversation a couple of days ago where I shared some vulnerability with a dear friend of mine. And through the vulnerability of me sharing my story, there was a part of me in their story. And so the power of sharing our story and the power of being vulnerable enough to, and again, like you said, not from a victim perspective, but literally from inspiring and empowering other people. Sometimes we just don't know what we don't know. So you could have walked into a restaurant that would be, you know, naive to the fact that some things cannot be, you know, accommodating for someone with a traumatic brain injury. And if you share that with them, then it just starts to become not normal, but it becomes more understandable, mm-hmm. right? And we're creating an environment for education to be, you know, at the forefront of everything. And so I think it's beautiful that you're able to do that and make changes so that we can offer those, you know, environments that are going to feel safe for other people who are going through things that we may not really understand. So I think it's beautiful. It's beautiful that you built the community around the education so that people don't feel alone. One of the things I will absolutely do for this podcast, specifically in the show notes, is some resources, because there will be many people here maybe have suffered from concussion, or maybe they have a family member like, well, I didn't know that. I didn't realize these things. So this is an important resource for other people who can help others through this conversation. So Firas, I want to go all the way back. You had mentioned that a lot of things changed in your life mm-hmm. from this. Significant things, maybe some that are not so significant, but there have been some significant situations that you've changed your lifestyle in regards to not only your location, but relationships. Can you share those things? And also in that, do you think that those changes would have been made if you didn't have this accident? I'd love to hear some insight on you, because I know this has been huge for you overall. So I would love some insight around what happened. How did you make those decisions? And what did that look like for you over the last decade of your life?
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the biggest decision or the biggest ripple effect through this is that we divorced. So I think, would I have divorced, if I didn't have a brain injury? $1 million question. I don't know. I don't know. But definitely, it again forced me, invite me, to kind of have a serious look at my life and what I wanted. And it was a mutual decision, with my ex-husband and I, to kind of said, okay, I just feel, and I had changed a lot after I had the brain injury. I started to be more assertive, and I was also bothered by a lot of things. I don't watch the news. I cannot tolerate music, really loud or violence, movies. So it kind of bring me maybe to who I was meant to be or who I was. So 4 years after I had the brain injury, I divorced, I moved by myself. I've never lived by myself before that time. That was absolutely extremely scary, and I had no idea that I was going to be able to move through this by myself or with the help of my therapist or some people who were close to me. I think that I found some resources inside of me. I think we don't know how capable, how resilient we are until we are forced to become. We find resource, we adapt, we're very resilient. I am extremely resilient. And I believe, again, it was a necessary shift. It's almost the universe said, okay, I tap you on the shoulder many, many times and you didn't want to listen. Now, you're going to have a big bang and you cannot do anything. You are, completely you need to sit, you need to lay down, and you're not able to move. So you're going to go within, and you're going to kind of shed different thing, different part of you. And perhaps really have a really, really honest look at yourself and what is it that is important in life.
Wow. It's crazy when you say that, because I'm hearing you and I'm thinking I would be so afraid. And, one of the quotes out there, I don't know the exact quote, but it just says that the only way is through.
Yeah.
And so you're literally going through this. You went from, again, married, two kids, never being alone. So living now solo after being married for a few decades. So you went from never living alone. And now I know you as just coming back from Europe after living in 5 countries in a few months. And even in the middle part of that, so from the beginning to then in the middle when I met you to today, I remember, you sharing almost this curiosity, through childlike eyes, where you'd say, Diane, I think I'm going to do this, or, I think I'm going to explore this. I think I'm going to look into this. And you would now, I know you from someone who says, what if I do that? What if I try this? So can you share from never living alone, only knowing to be in a relationship, in a family, in that, nuclear family dynamic, to now the unknown approaches you? And it's not just normal. It's, you also have a brain injury. So now you're making decisions with a computer that has some faulty wires, and you're still making these decisions that for the average person may be just far beyond our reach of understanding. And I would love for you to just take us through that, because my dream and my mission in this is to showcase and share stories of people who are following the magic that ignites their inner essence. That's everything that I live for. And I want to be able to peel back the onion so it is understandable that you can do it. It's not just, look at me, I just came back from living in, Europe. Now, sold everything, now living on the East Coast. There's the in-between, there's the behind the scenes. So can you share whatever that looks like for you? Maybe it's resources, books, you know, mentors, and also what you learned about yourself through resilience, which I think is key.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's many, many things. Like, you know, I believe I had this amazing, like, you know, I know I had this amazing therapist, like, his name is Ashok. And he really, like, you know what, like, guided me, like, not as a regular therapist. I think that he wanted me to explore in life. He wanted me to see what was the possibilities, like, you know, and even if I was afraid, like, you know, at 1 year after I had the brain injury, I left, like, you know, Canada to go to Southeast Asia by myself for 68 days, like, backpacking. And I was not in a great place. I was really emotionally, like, very, like, distressed. But at the same time, I had this opportunity. My younger child was going to Australia for an exchange, and I was not doing well emotionally and cognitively. And he said to me, oh, wow, you have the resource. Like, you know, you could go wherever you want. So I think it's my willingness to explore. Like, you know, I'm a big explorer and I am extremely curious. And like those, like, you know, are some of the step. And also something that really, truly changed my life for me, like amongst like many modalities that I've done over the last 11 years, is I've done like vision therapy. Mm-hmm. And this process for me opened up a world like that I didn't know was possible. So this is a process, like, you know, where you go and you, like, different part of the brain have been affected, like, you know, when I had a brain injury, and I didn't really know, like, what was affected. I still had a lot of physical pain in my left eyes. I was extremely anxious. Making decision was difficult. So we're talking 6 years after having a brain injury. 2 years, like, you know what, then I was living solo. Things were progressing, but not, like, not immensely, like, you know what, like, grand. So I started vision therapy, and I did that for 16 months, like, weekly meeting, homework every day to do, like, again, from going on the floor, doing like primal movement, to doing like all kinds of exercise with music and a metronome, like patch on my eyes, like working on different aspects of the visual system to kind of, you know, create new neural pathway amongst many other things. And this process is also for me a very spiritual process. I love my vision therapist. I love my optometrist. And I don't know, but it did something for me, like, really, like, I don't have the word, like, it was really, really amazing what it did for me. I think that I started to understand also, now that I had a brain injury, what are some of the tools, or what, how do I function? So I am not able to function at the same speed than I used to be. Like, I'm a very type A person. I was a type A plus plus probably before I had a brain injury, always on the go. And it's still my default, like, you know what, mode of doing things. However, like, you know, this is not serving me. So I feel like, you know, that now, like, you know, through this process, I became also someone who is able to contemplate a lot. You know, I rejoice in the little thing in life, things that I took for granted, things that, you know, that seems maybe insignificant for most people. And through this process also, I became very alert to beauty, to all kinds of beauty. So, like, you know, the beauty of, like, I don't know, like the clouds moving in the sky, like the drop of water on a petal, like, you know, on a leaf. Also the beauty of people, their own beauty, and also looking at my own beauty. What do I love about myself? Is there an area that I would like to expand? Like, you know, like this curiosity, this reflection, like starting to journal, to also, like, you know, becoming my own self. And who is France? And what does she want? And what is her intention in the world? Like, you know, like daily intention. When I meet people, like, you know, being very purposeful. So I don't think it answer your question.
I'm being mesmerized by you. Honestly, I'm thinking, my gosh, it's so interesting. It's so beautiful that you're sharing this. And I feel like that really just hit me, is that can we actually take time every single day to not, you know, put our head on the pillow at the end of the day and not even remember what happened? But can we look at the drop of a, in a pond, a drop of water, a bird, the clouds? I mean, those are things that are gifts for us every single day. And imagine the mindset shift that would happen, even if we said for the next 3 days, I'm going to attempt to do this. And so it took you literally being knocked down to wake up. And I want to also touch on your beautiful writing. I mean, when I, as soon as something would pop up on social media, that's how I find your writing. It's so eloquent, it's so deep, and yet it's so simple, but it just really hits the heart. So your poetry and your abstract art, are these things that you were active doing before this concussion? Okay. So no. can you share that? Because this is, I mean, your unique gifts are so beautiful. You've also been a contributor to a beautiful book called Living What Matters, which I feel is like the title of your life. So can you touch on what that looked like? How did that happen? What was the unfolding of that for you?
Again, journaling, I think, came to me not a long time after I had the brain injury. And it was a way for me to kind of, you know, put everything that I was feeling, everything that I wish I could have told to the people around me, the loved one, my husband, my children, the world. Just a place to kind of, you know, express instead of keeping it inside. I didn't know. I don't remember journaling pre-injury. And at some point I have a very good friend, like her name is André. And she said to me, she said, wow, like she said, this is really amazing what you're doing, like, you know, your journey. Perhaps you should start, like, you know what, you should consider starting to share that, like, you know what, on social media, at the time on Instagram. And I said, wow, like, you know, again, I am not an Anglophone. I am a Francophone living in Ontario. I think, like, you know what, then I wrote in English, not necessarily in French, but because I've been living, like, in Ontario for a long time. And I said, wow, I'm going to make so much mistake and everything. And she said, oh, you know, it's not important. Like, just kind of start. And this is how it started. Like, you know, I wanted to share what is the life of someone who had a brain injury. What are some of the gain? What's some, like, the victory? But what are also some of my challenge that maybe, like, you know, could resonate with other people? And I remember at some point, some of my friend will kind of send me texts in the background and say, "Hey, did you write that for me today? Like, you know what? I'm reading this and I." It's for me, like I'm feeling the same way. I don't have a brain injury, but, you know, like what you're experiencing, I don't know, like, you know, sadness or like disillusion or like, you know, like, I don't know, like you. And I said, no, I wrote it for me. Like I needed to write it, to let it out. And, you know, and I realized that we are so much more similar than we are different. So the words that I came all the time when I hear people is, you are inspiring me. And that makes me so happy because I feel that we all need, like, you know, we all need to be inspired and to, I need to be inspired in my day-to-day life. Like, and for me, my inspiration could come from a walk, like, you know, from listening music, from having a conversation, from exploring. And painting came from my therapist. He said, hey, like, I think that you're very, very creative. Like, you maybe you will benefit from doing some art. And, you know, I started to do some printmaking in Oakville. And little by little, like, I started to kind of dab into painting. But what was very important for me, and the same with writing, I never really took, like, formal education. And if I had some classes in, you know, in art, I always said to my teacher, I don't want you to teach me how to paint a tree. Like, you know, I said, I want to access what is inside of me. And through this process, this is also going to teach me about life. So which it was really true, like how sometime I felt so anxious about this big canvas, it was blank canvas, it was in front of me. And wow, I have all of this. I have my paints, I have my brushes, and how am I going to create something? So, and I realized that by doing this exercise regularly, like, that was teaching me about also how I was, like, in the day-to-day life.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I haven't painted for a while. I'm looking forward to, like, now that I'm living in Nova Scotia, I really want to go back to painting. Right. And my words, like, are they poetic? I think that I have, like, a certain style, and maybe it's because of my French and my English. And also, I'm very vulnerable in my writing. I never, like, authenticity and vulnerability, those are two words that came, like, very, very important after I had the brain injury. This is, like, some values, like, you know, I think that I sat and I said, okay, what are some of the foundation that you want in life? And kind of, like, you know, draft your values. And these two words are extremely important. So I'm not just going to write about all the beautiful and all the glamorous, like, things that happen in life. No, I want to talk also about the day where I'm depressed, when I don't know where I'm going, and I'm living, like, not in Nova Scotia now, and I know a little bit where I'm going, but there's lots of part of me where I really don't know, and I'm really okay with that. For a long time, I was not. I wanted to know. I needed to know. I was very anxious about the not knowing, and now, like, you know, I'm said, you know, we're going on adventure, and we're going to.
And speaking of adventure, and thank you for sharing that, because it's interesting as you're talking about the blank canvas, I think that's, like, every day we wake up with one in our own way. And being able to say, okay, I could either be afraid of the blank canvas, or I can get creative and I can use as many colors as I want. The other thing that I loved that you had said too is that, okay, you haven't been maybe painting for a while, but I do believe as well too that if we can be kind to ourselves and know that we're not always going to be doing everything all of the time. Yes. You know, that was one thing that I also, it really, really resonates with me when you share about, you know, because with my writing, I'd realized, like, when I had a writing block, writing my weekly smiles, my Lucy smiles, you know, I went through a phase where I'm like, why am I not doing it every day like I used to? And I thought, because that's not what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And then it just flowed back through me. And when you look back on life, we can realize, you know, hindsight is 2020, that there are reasons why certain things have to kind of have the seasons that come in and out, right? And what I would love to talk about is your season, one of your most recent seasons, where you did have another loss in your life. And I remember chatting with you, and the decision that you made to then, I'm going to go to Sardinia, I'm going to go to Europe, I'm going to, you know, leave everything. Can you share your vulnerable heart around your loss? Because I feel like your decisions have so much strength to them, even through yet another adverse situation in your life. And I also want to share with you, and I was prepping for this conversation, just kind of like intention and meditation, there are three words that came to me for you, and it was trust, grace, and belief. Wow. So, and those are, I'm like, wow, that just came out of, you know, I don't usually write three words for a guest, but I literally was just like flowing, you know, and those words came to me when I was thinking about this next story that I'd love for you to share, your most recent discovery of yourself through going overseas. So share that with us as well too, because that's where I feel like your trust, you're like, and you've said to me so many times, Diane, I just trust, right? And I think that's the willingness to trust. So I'd love for you to share what that looks like. And so what got you from where you were to going all the way to Europe to come back almost to your homeland in a completely different facet?
So going to Europe has been a dream of mine for the last 15 years. So, like, I realized that moving to Ontario from Montreal to Ontario was a huge shift. And I gained so much. I gained so much knowledge, so much expertise, so much, in so many ways. So I had this beautiful man, Lawrence, in my life, and we were together for 2 years. And after we broke up, we stayed in each other's life. Lawrence was a gentleman who was a lot older than me. And in 2022, like, his health started, like, you know, to really decline, and it was going downhill very badly. And I knew that he was going to pass away. And I said to myself that I wanted to be there when he was going to be, you know, in his final days. And I was. And it was a beautiful, like, you know, experience, like, you know, lots of love from all his family member, from Lawrence. And I also realized that, you know, when you die, which I knew, you're not bringing anything with you. All this material stuff that we have and we are, like, working like crazy to accumulate, we're not. What we, you know, on his last few days, what he experienced was love, the love that he had, the amazing memories that he shared with all of us. And that was the legacy. So I said to myself after he passed away that, you know, I was considering it. And also my younger son at the time was living close to me, and he decided to move to New Brunswick, where his older brother was and where his dad was. So I'm just thinking to myself, wow, like, you know, I don't have really anything, like, you know, to kind of keep me like from pursuing my dream. So I started to kind of like, you know, do a few phone calls, call my my travel agent, and I said, okay, you know, I think I'm ready. I'm ready to go to Europe. And this is the time I wanted to go. And, you know, one thing lead to another one. And I left, like, you know, like in today is the 15th. So on September 21st, I left with my one suitcase and a backpack. I had a return date in mind, and I had like a flight was booked, and I knew that I was going to go to Rome for 4 days. And after that, I had four nights in Sardinia, and that's it. That was the only thing that was like kind of like, you know, draft. And I said to myself, we are going to do this adventure day by day. We're going to listen, like I'm going to listen to myself. I'm going to create this trust, because the trust was really maybe like, you know, at the 50-60%, like, you know what, in my body, like, you know what, like I knew that I had overcome a lot of things in life, but that was huge. That was huge to leave my life behind, to travel solo as a woman, and didn't have like a roadmap. So yes, I started to kind of listen to my inner voice and said, okay, what do you want to do today? What, you know, what do you feel like doing? Do you want to go to the beach? Do you want to kind of stay and read your book? Like, you know, and learn like, you know, from this. And when it was time to kind of move to a new destination, okay, like, so which destination you want to go? How you're going to do this? Like, you know, at the time when I was in Sardinia, I had a car. So, and kind of moving, and every time I had kind of like, oh, we're moving to a new city, how is it going to be? Like, you know, like what kind of accommodation? Do you want to go to Airbnb? Do you want to like have a rent a room like in someone's apartment? Do you want to stay at the hotel? Like, you know, all these little decisions for me was big at some point, but I don't know. I just kind of feel that I was also like supported. I had amazing friends here that I will connect with, like, and said, okay, like, I'm not sure. I'm experiencing, like, you know, some anxiety, like, you know, and I was guided, but I also learned to not knowing and to be okay with that and to really, really trust and believe that it was always going to work out. Not necessarily sometimes at the moment that I wanted, but if I was willing to stay and to listen and to take my time and be patient, I will have the advice. I will find the insight, you know. And yeah. I did. It works out, like, you know, amazingly. Like, you know, I've met like wonderful people. I had experience like, I had the time of my life, and I'm very fortunate and very blessed, like, you know what, to be able to do it. However, I always said, you know, so many people have like, you know, better opportunity, or they have all the money in the world, they have all the access, and they will never do that. And for me, what became very clear after I had the accident is that the fragility of life, like, this is impermanent. Like, you know, I'm sitting there with you today at this moment. I don't know what could happen 20 minutes from now, 3 hours, 2 months from now. So it's really living in the moment and also living without regrets. So wow. If tomorrow I die, I will say to myself, wow, what an amazing life you had. What an amazing life you co-create, because we do co-create our life. I'm not like, you know, I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in luck. Not lucky, like, you know, there is opportunity and possibility for each one of us, and it's to have the courage, to have the audacity. I think like we need to be audacious in life, and we need to be bold. And this is something that, you know what, that you, with time, like, you know, you could develop, certainly, because again, I'm not more gifted than anyone else, you know. I had to go through and I had to, not I didn't add to, I choose to, I choose to create the life that I want.
I'm trying not to tear up. It's like so powerful. Oh my God. Ooh, my goodness. I'm just so mesmerized by your words, not even just your poetry. Your poetry comes out of your mouth on a podcast. Franco, I love everything that you just said. And it reminded me of a conversation we had last week while we were chatting about, hey, do you want to record this podcast? And we talked about capacity to dream. Because and it's exactly what you just shared. And I think for the audience right now, because I mean, I'm seriously like, whew, but the tears are inside, the cortisol is releasing, which is so fabulous. Is that I believe that we are all, you know, for the most part, I don't want to generalize, but given the same opportunities in life and our capacity to dream and execute and move forward based on those dreams and how we choose to walk our path. That I think is the difference between someone who says, you know, I just lost someone who I love so much, whether you're with him or not, like, I know how important Lawrence was to you. Yeah. And you could have said, you know, I'm stuck. I'm just going to, you know, take some time to do maybe nothing. Right. And we have this, you know, am I going to freeze in my life or am I going to move forward in my life? And your story also reminds me a bit of The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. Mm-hmm. You know, our personal legend, it changed my life. And I'm going to reread the book. I'm being called to reread it after it's been 14 years. And I look at the way that you had shared being where you were in your beautiful condo and then deciding to go to Europe. And because of that decision to go to Europe last September for those several months, and I talked to you while you were in Italy, that, do you feel like that was a catalyst for what made you decide to come back? And not just come back and stay where you were. You literally continue to make some shifts. Was that based on self-reflection? Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yes. Oh, obviously. Like, when I was there, like, I really, like, you know what, it was an amazing experience, but also, like, realize how, like, you know, how capable I was. Like, what I just feel like, you know, sometimes when you have an injury or when something happened in life, you tailor your life around this injury, like, you know, or this, like, you know, like sickness or disease or whatever. And your world become very, very small. So for me, by going out, like, you know what, and living like in Europe and exploring and discovering, like, you know what, I discovered the world, but I discovered also myself. Like, you know, I discovered, you know what, that I am adaptable. I am capable to make my own decision and also to see, like, you know, then if, like, you know, let's say I wanted to turn right and maybe it will have been better to turn left. Like, you know, I have the capacity, like, you know what, to kind of realign myself. And I think for so long, I was also really afraid of mistake. That was something that paralyzed me, the idea of making a mistake. And through this trip, I realized that there's no mistake. I changed my vocabulary. It's only experiences. So I'm living an experience. And from that, you know, I could learn, I could grow, I could, like, you know, expand. And for me, like, this trip also, like, it's brought me a lot of joy. And like, I learned and I said, wow, yeah, you are a creative being. So for me, I desire and I need and I want to be inspired. I want to see beauty. I need to learn. I need to, I have this craving for life. I have a big appetite. I'm alive. I'm awakened. Like, so you can never go back there. So all of this became very kind of, like, in my face, this is what you want. This is the life you want in life. I don't know exactly how it is going to kind of like being show up, how it will appear in my life. But, you know, I'm alive. Like, you know, I love life. I love people. I love life. I love to learn. I love to grow. I love to support people. I love to connect. I love to create. So this is what makes that light me up from the inside mm-hmm. out. So mm-hmm. and not just kind of go back and kind of live like and said, oh my gosh, like, you know, I need also to be in harmony. This is something that I would really want, like, you know, in my life, to be in harmony, to bloom in harmony. That's why blooming in harmony for me, it is so important. It's, I felt at this stage, I have, you know, had many, many experience into this process of kind of reinventing myself. And now I feel that I feel it, finally, I'm kind of blooming more and more. And I think this process of blooming will be like endlessly and blooming forever. This is my desire.
Yeah. You wrote something that I read that hit me as well too, not so long ago. And you talked and you had said, I'll just say a couple of words from a bigger picture. You said, to not live with passion, I cannot imagine. Mm-hmm. And that is, and that's all I know of you, like truly, whether, you know, and I know your story, we've walked, you know, through contrast, you know, the stories, but one thing that didn't change was you, your perception and your ability to literally not just say it, but to live it and to be it. And so I honor you. And it's such an inspiration for me. Is that you were able to say, you know, I am going to make a decision. Like you had said, you know, I choose to look at the blessings. I choose to look at what can I do in this moment? How can I have a better relationship with myself in this moment, not just the relationship outside of myself? So I think that's beautiful. I do want to share the book that you had contributed to. It's called Living What Matters, which is literally no wonder you got asked to contribute. No shock. So share a little bit about that. And I'll make sure to put the link. So if anyone wants to read these compilations, can you share more about how did that show up in your life? And what is your contribution? What does that look like?
Okay, so this book, I had followed Jerry Viska for a while. Like, I really like his message and everything. And I know, like, you know, deep inside, and there's many books that will kind of emerge of me. So when I was in Tuscany, I connected with him and I said, hey, like, I would love at some point to write a book. And I would like to know, like, how, like, are you helping people or like, what is it? And he was like, you know, what kind of starting to create this kind of like, you know, he had this idea about living what matters. And he said, you know, that would be amazing if you would like to join, to be part of like this project. Like, I'm going to gather like a several author and through some questions, like, you know, that they have created about living what matters. You could select the question that you want and you write about your own journey. So as I said, for me writing, I could just sit here. Like normally it's an easy process. And I love the fact that I was doing part of this writing when I was in Europe, because again, just being surrounded in a different country at the time I started, I was in Tuscany. So Jerry and his partner, Angela, also like spent some time in Tuscany. Like they lived there a few months, for a few years. You know, I just find that we had something in commons. And again, my desire is to inspire people. Like, yes, you could be stuck. I was stuck for a long time. I was sad. I was depressed, you know. However, I really feel like, you know, that sharing our message, sharing our story was really important. So we had a meeting and I said, okay, I'm interested. And I met also like a beautiful lady, Monica, who lived like in Ontario, close to where I used to live. And we became friends and we like, you know, we started to talk to each other about what we wanted to read, which question we were going to choose. And she became a very dear friend of mine who came to visit me, like, you know, a few months earlier. I know I moved here in June, so she came, like, I think in August, like, you know, when we spent time. I didn't know this lady, like, you know, I'm just kind of like, for me, I'm mesmerized by the magic in life, really, truly. It's all around us, and it's just like, you know, again, slowing down, being able to look, to receive, to allow things to come our way. So, So in this book, I share, like, I answer 5 questions. Like, you know, if, like, the premise is, if I had a year to live, ... So if I had a year to live, what will I not fear anymore? What will I create? So it also, like, you know, like inviting me to kind of reflect, okay, like now that you are at a different stage in your life, You don't have any kids at home anymore. Your health is, like, you know, better, much better than what you had before. And again, like, you know, what are you, like, you know, what is there, like, any changes that you wanted to do? And it became clear when I came back from my from living abroad in Europe that I didn't want to live in Ontario anymore. Like, that was not filling my cup. Mm-hmm. That was not for my own expansion. And I came to Nova Scotia last summer, and I said, okay, it's not, maybe I should go back, you know, and just see how I will feel. So I came back for a month, look around, did a few things, and I said, you know, that will be my next destination. So packing, moving, like, you know what, again, solo. I knew one person when I moved here. And it has been, like, you know what, very interesting, exciting. I'm very content with my choice. I really feel I am exactly where I need to be.
I love that you said, I made it just, this is so interesting. So I heard everything, and then I'm like, but what clicked for me the most was when you said, and I realized that this is going to be my next destination, not the final. Knowing you, I doubt it, or maybe, but it was interesting because how we speak to ourselves is so important, right? And so our self-talk is so, the dialogue that we have with ourselves is so important. And it's interesting that you said, you know, my next step, meaning that you're open to different opportunities as they move forward. Like, you're open to whatever is next, because again, you know, one of the biggest takeaways I'm getting even just from our conversation is every step that you've taken, all of the choices that you made for yourself, the experiences that happened for you, it seems like you're just continuing to build a stronger, more trusting relationship with yourself. Yes. Right. And so that, you know, the person that's sitting in Nova Scotia right now for however long that looks, I know you've got, you know, a specific lease amount of time, which anything can change, is, I think it's just so beautiful because you're opening your eyes to the possibilities every single day. Yes. Right. And that opportunity for people, I hope, that are listening today, myself, you know, first and foremost, is that we are so gifted to have these opportunities. And maybe we can say, you know, if I had 1 year, well, what if, you know, none of us know what that looks like. Absolutely. Right? Nobody knows what the timing is for us to transition from this beautiful life. And so one thing that I like to do at the end of, in closing, in conversations, is to ask a question. It's never the same question, but as I'm hearing you and my heart is receiving all of the messages from you today, I'm making up this question as I go, but something that intuitively is calling me is when I think of the woman sitting here in this present moment, and I also think of the woman who, you know, went through this experience, you know, over a decade ago, who you have become, who is always you, but who you have, you know, you've been shining this light brighter and brighter as you go. If you were to say to the France that went through this, you know, experience back then, and you were to thank her for from then to now, what would that look like? If you can, if that is something that you can do, is like, I just feel like there's this appreciation that you have for both women.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This is an amazing, profound question. I think first and foremost, I would like to thank her to never give up. That is something that, you know what, that is really important for me. Also, like, would like to thank her for to be kinder, to be softer, to have the capacity to see, like, you know what, the pain in people and to feel people, to have more compassion for people. But I would say also, like, I would like to thank her to keep dreaming, and to keep to coming back to her, to realize that, you know what, that this is my life. This is going, what I'm going to leave behind is going to be my legacy, not the legacy of that my father want, my children want from me. So I think it takes a lot of courage and a lot of audacity to be who you are in this world. It's not a little thing, but this is a beautiful, amazing journey that I'm so glad, to know that I then I said yes. It's for me, it's saying yes to life. Like, you know, so what does it mean for you to say yes to life? Like, you know, again, I'm not better. I'm not, like, you know, I'm not gifted. I'm just someone who has the curiosity to look and at himself and to kind of really, I will say, sometimes ask hard questions, you know, and be willing also to have, you know, sometimes some difficult conversation with myself, but with also with other people.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. My cup is full having this conversation with you. It's so beautiful. I just want to thank you so much. You know, another thing that you had mentioned around is values. You had mentioned that earlier. And, you know, something that always hit me from a mentor back in the day was that when you know your standards, your decisions are easy. And it doesn't mean we're always going to be perfect. As you had mentioned, you know, sometimes we feel like we've made mistakes, but there are no mistakes in life. It's truly everything is on purpose. And, you know, your eloquent sharing of all of the different facets of your life, Vanessa, has been, it hit me so hard today. And it's all of those things that I was meant to hear. And I'm just really hoping, I'm knowing that whoever has been gifted to have an opportunity to hear this conversation, to see, you know, this episode, something can shift in them. And with your blooming in harmony, I would love for you, if you can, because your work is so beautiful, can you share where we can find you, not just including your social media, but also the book that you have been able to contribute? If you are, you know, is there anything coming up that you wanted to share? I would love to share it with the world.
The book, like, you know what, like Living What Matters, like a guide for living, is, like, you know what, available on Amazon. I am going to write many other books, like they are like inside of me, like, you know, at some point. And I don't really know at this moment where this blooming in harmony will kind of lead me. But, you know, I love to inspire people. And I will say, like, you know what, if you would love to have a conversation, or if you're looking for someone to kind of, like, you know what, help you, to support you in the change that you want to do, like, you know what, please feel free to connect with me. Because, again, I don't have a roadmap for everyone. But I think by listening, like, you know what, by kind of like having different conversation, like asking different questions, and also, sometimes I feel that we need someone who holds our hand as we go through the changes. Like, we don't need to go through life by ourselves. I feel together we're a lot stronger. And yes, again, as I said, I'm not really sure where it will lead me, but I'm open. I think this is the most important thing, open to possibility and to opportunities.
I love that. And again, if anyone wants to follow France on Instagram, her handle is Blooming in Harmony. And also, so guests, I'm so honored today to spend a Sunday morning with France, and I hope that something hit your heart the way that it hit mine. I'm so grateful to be in a position to have a podcast platform like this where I could share these stories like France around how it is to really live our life on purpose, living in what matters. And so if any part of this supported you in any other way, I would love for you to share in the comments, to write a review. I would love to hear from you personally. If you have anything that you want to ask France as well, I know that she had mentioned that she'd be more than happy to answer any questions, communicate with you as well too. We'll definitely have a lot of our conversation resources in the show notes. And if this inspires you, please share it with those that may not only just be suffering maybe with concussion or other injuries where they don't really have a place or they don't know where to start in terms of where to turn or resources. We will put that in the show notes as well. And I just want to say a heart-centered thank you for my guests that have shown up for me to be able to share their light with other people. I do believe that what we shift in helps to shift the world. And until next time, welcome to a new world as we move forward. I'm excited to see more of the blessings in my life, from the little bird behind me that I was watching walking in my backyard, to just everything in life that is here for us. Like you had said, France, that there's magic everywhere. We just have to open our eyes. And so I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I'm so grateful to have you as a friend, and also just to have you as someone in my world who has helped me to see things in a really different perspective as well too. So thank you to all of my guests. We will catch you next time on the Lucy Smiles Living Room podcast, and enjoy the rest of your day. Hey friends, thank you again for following and tuning in to the Lucy Smiles Living Room podcast. It really does truly support my mission to help inspire you through our beautiful guests that I also want to thank, who have come on to share their beautiful stories of transformation. If you want to connect with me privately, you can actually go right to my website, lucysmiles.com. Feel free to send me a personal email. You can also catch my newsletter by subscribing, which also includes my weekly intuitive messages. If you're on social media, you can follow me with my handle, I am Lucy Smiles. And if this was inspiring to you and something helped support you on whatever the journey is that you are going through, please feel free to review, write a comment, and most importantly, if you can subscribe and share this episode and all our other episodes, that would be amazing. My dream and my mission is to truly help you to follow the magic that ignites your inner essence. And so until next time, we will catch you soon. I hope to catch you on the next episode.